Well, I know that a lot of you would beg to differ with my next statement, but I do have one of the most adorable grandsons in the entire world. I have four, no granddaughters yet, but this one grandson, one of the things that's very special about him is he looks so much like his daddy. And you know, when you see your son replicated again, not only do you feel sorry for your daughter-in-law, but you just, it almost feels like a second chance. And this little guy, I'm telling you, he is so cute. He's got his daddy's flyaway blonde hair. And if you knew his daddy, he was the type that said, "Hey, everybody, follow me." And nobody followed. He said, "Then I'll just follow myself." In fact, I was showing my dad a picture of my, you know, my grandson. And I said, "Dad, what do you think?" And my dad looked at it and goes, "I think he looks just like me." And honestly, my son Char looks like his namesake, my father. And my grandson looks like both of them. And he is just the cutest thing. And he is very substantial. But he doesn't look substantial. He just looks, you know, muscular. So I was staying at his house, and I heard him wake up. He wakes up about 6. And he wakes up so happy. He's singing. And he's kind of like calling names like, "Mommy, Daddy, Grandma B." And so I heard my name, Grandma B. And so I went in there and I said, "Judah, are you okay with me taking you out of the crib?" And he turned around. I thought, oh, he wants his mom or dad. But he grabbed all his blankets and then put his arms up like this. I was so excited. I ran over there and just reached in and went to lift him up and wrenched my back. I was like, oh, my goodness, he is a lot more substantial than I realized. So I said, "Just a second." And I did a couple back stretches, you know, like, okay. Stretched out my back and went, "Okay, this time, lift from your knees." And so I bent my knees and I reached in and I lifted him up and I liberated him from the bars that he was in. But you know, there are times when life is just so heavy, we feel like we're wrenching our back, trying to lift the things that have encompassed us. Do you ever feel like that? You're just like, "I am breaking my back." You feel like you're constantly pulling muscles. I don't know if it's my age. I'm 52, I'll be honest with you. But everything aches. If I sit down in one position too long, it's like, oh my goodness, what did that do to that leg and that arm? I mean, I don't remember this in my 40s or 30s. Just a warning for you who are just in your 40s or 30s. There's a reason that people complain about aging. It's like, I didn't think that would happen so soon. And, you know, I'm like, "Wait, why is my baby finger stiff? What did I do to you?" But I feel like sometimes I'm constantly pulling muscles, and I can't think of how I did that. You know, at this age, too, you find a bruise in your leg, and somebody's like, "How did that happen?" I don't know. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Let me think over my life and find out how I did this. But, you know, it's just sometimes harder, and you find yourself slower. And sometimes I feel like I'm constantly pulling muscles because of the burdens or the busyness or the duties or the trying circumstances or the lack of finances or the ebbing strength and the achy muscles. I feel like I'm constantly, constantly wrenching my back. Jesus promised in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and we had it this last Sunday, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus promised rest, easy yoke, and light burdens. And I have found when life becomes too heavy for me, I have to re-examine not what I am doing, but how I am doing what I do. Am I lifting from my knees, or am I trying to bear it on my back? Lifting from my back will cause me to pull my muscles. In fact, I just had this summer, you know, when Glenda was saying, "You know, maybe you've had a busy summer," I'm thinking, I don't know if I did anything this summer. Duh, my daughter got married, you know, and I said it just like her too. I got married. She got married in June. And we went to Austria and to Creation Fest in August. And Brian thought it would be good for us to share our little bungalow with three grown men. And so you can understand, I have lived this summer. I survived my summer. But, you know, I forgot. Yes, it was busy. Yes, it was incredible. But I actually, 2 weeks ago, Brian and I were just, we got an antenna for our television. We don't even watch TV, but it's sports time and there's football games. So we got this antenna because our TV hasn't worked. And while we were setting it up, I started crying. Not because it's accursed. I started crying because it was hard. I am the type of woman that never sees obstacles, only challenges. But that day, I could see no way to get that antenna attached to that TV. And why did we want it anyway? I started crying over the antenna. Brian's like, what is wrong with you? Then our ice maker, the ice wasn't coming out of our ice maker. I sat on the floor of the kitchen and said, we don't have ice and the antenna doesn't work. Brian's like, I don't know you. I don't know what's wrong with you, but just go to bed. Just go to bed. I went to bed and slept for 2 days straight. I didn't even realize I was exhausted. And as I was sleeping, you ever have those coma states where you're like half awake and half asleep? And the Lord was just speaking to me, and he was telling me, Cheryl, you're going to teach those women to walk in the Spirit, and you're doing this, and you're doing so much for me, but I want to do it through you. And I put you out. I had to have Brian call all these people going, she won't make this, she won't make that. I had more commitments. In fact, I was saying to the Lord, this is the wrong week for rest. This is the wrong week. You chose the wrong week. Next week would be so much better on my calendar, Lord. I have responsibilities this week. People need me this week. And the Lord was saying to me, excuse me, I make you lay down in green pastures. You're going to stay here until I say it's time to get up. I often overburden myself. Why? Because I'm a woman. And you do it too. So don't act like you're so special. We do this to ourselves, don't we? Because we really want to do for God. I remember singing as a little girl, make me a blessing. You know, I want to be a blessing to God. And I want to be a blessing to others. I want to bless everybody. And I overfill my schedule. And I end up feeling like a jack of all trades and master of none. I don't feel like I have enough time for anyone, enough wisdom for anybody, enough comfort, inspiration, help, and I know I don't have any finances for anybody. I just feel like, oh, I want to do so much more. I want to give so much more. I make schedules for myself. Every single one of my notebooks has a calendar self-made in it. I make calendars. One, because I can't remember the date ever. And two, just because there's so much in my schedule, I'm afraid I'm going to forget. So it doesn't matter if it's my prayer journal, isn't that naughty? Or if it's my Bible devotional study, or if it's the notebook I take notes on for church, you will find a calendar in everyone. I don't know if it's, you know, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. If you believe in that, then maybe. But there it is. I make these schedules. I try to remember days and appointments and birthdays. I have obligations and deadlines that I must meet, and I feel so responsible for everyone. Do you ever do that? My mother and I used to go down the street. We would drive together. I think I inherited this from her. And she'd say, oh no, that child, where is his mother? His bicycle is too far in front of his mother where his mother is walking. And then I'm like, oh no, mother, get with your child on the bicycle. Or you see a little, you know, another kid who's like 11 and he's all by himself going home from school. And you're like, let's slow down and make sure he gets to his house safely. You know, we feel responsible for the world. We as women, we're always trying to make everybody happy. We are. It doesn't matter if we make our goal. We just want to make sure we're all happy as we go there. Nobody feels left out, right? You know, everybody, I know you didn't play the game, but I'm going to give you an award anyway because we want you happy. That's how we are. In fact, mothers have this way of keying in to the one unhappy child. Isn't that true? All the rest of the kids are like, we're so excited about ice cream. And then you've got that one child going, I hate ice cream. You're like, well, what can we do for you? Everyone's got to be happy in the family. And we just have that, you know, way of keying in to the one person who's unhappy. And I put these pressures on myself to accomplish, to do the best possible, to get things done in time. And I end up in bed with my back wrenched because I'm not lifting from my knees. Lifting from our knees is to lift from the position of prayer. It's to lift by the Spirit of God and not the spirit of Cheryl and not your own spirit, but to lift by the power of Jesus Christ and what he can work in us. So it is no longer Cheryl working, but Jesus working in and through Cheryl to accomplish his will. It's no longer you walking, but Jesus Christ working in you to will and to do of his own good pleasure, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. We often ask for tasks and work within our sphere of experience, fits easily into our schedule, and doesn't stretch us. I know at this point right now, the Lord has brought this tremendous trial in my life. I've been praying against this trial. I heard it was coming. I've been praying against it for 6 months, and it's come. And even when I heard it might not come, the Lord said, don't put your hope that it won't come. It's coming. But I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to perfect you, and I'm going to establish you, and I'm going to settle you, and I'm going to bless you through this. And the Lord was saying, Cheryl, by your hands being like this instead of like this, you're keeping spiritual growth from yourself, and you're keeping me from having my full work in you. I always want things within my sphere. Lord, I'm comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with that. That's what I say about every trial. I'm really not comfortable with this trial. I want it alleviated. I want it gone. But the Lord knows what we need to perfect and establish and settle and strengthen us. He knows better. God sends things beyond our reach and comfort zone that we might learn the principle of walking in the Spirit, of lifting from our knees and not wrenching our backs and walking in our own strength. I think of Matthew chapter 14, verses 23 through 33, where Peter is on the boat with the other disciples, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. And Peter's like so enthusiastic, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out of this boat. Now, I've said this before, but if I was Jesus, I would say, Peter, stay there. I'm coming to you. I walk on water, you don't. But Jesus said, come. And I have found that Jesus is always inviting me out of that boat, and like an idiot, I keep getting out. I keep walking on that water. But what a glory. Who else walked on water? Who else got the privilege of feeling lighter than air by walking on the water? This forces us, this walking on water experience, this being called beyond our comfort zone, beyond our means, beyond our time schedule, this forces us to learn to lift from our knees. I met a man one year as we were in Austria. He was the most helpful, incredible man. He was lifting everybody's luggage, helping us get it off the bus, back on the bus, up to our rooms. He was incredible, and I went over just to thank him, and he said, do you know what's interesting? I have terrible, terrible back problems. I said, well, then don't lift, don't lift. He said, no, you don't understand. I had to learn a new way of lifting. And he said, every day I do 100 sit-ups. My muscles are so strong so that I can lift with those muscles and from my knees, and I love the new way of lifting because I'm able to. And what a blessing he was because of the way he had learned to lift. In Philippians 4:13, Paul says, because he learned to lift from his knees, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had learned to lift from his knees, so nothing seemed overly burdensome. Nothing seemed impossible. He would look at it and said, I know how to lift from my knees. I can do this. Earlier in chapter 4, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace that passes all understanding shall rule your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's lifting from your knees. And then he could say, I can do all things because it's God who is working in me. Receiving God's divine grace to empower us for every work is what happens when we lift from our knees. So it's no longer we who are lifting, but Christ Jesus who is lifting through us. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, Paul said this. I love this scripture. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency for all things. Don't you love those alls? All sufficiency, lacking nothing for all things, anything, everything, all things, have an abundance, more than enough for every good work. You see, God doesn't want you to do for him. He wants to do through you. Not that you're doing miracles, but you yourself are the miracle. That you're, you know, I'm my own miracle. I'm God's miracle. I mean, the fact that I got out of bed this morning, I'm a miracle. God wants to make each one of us a miracle. When he was chiding the Corinthians, he said to them, aren't you acting like mere mortals? We were called to a divine life. We were called beyond what comes naturally, to do what comes naturally, what we cannot do ourselves, but what only the Spirit of God can do through us. So we will come to the end of our hoarded reserves. We will come to the end of our expertise. We will come to the end of that which comes naturally, that we might be put into the category of Christ working divinely through us, his grace, his power, that we might know the divine life. And the divine life is one of rest, of joy, of peace, of light burdens, of easy yokes. It's not like, oh, great, he's making me walk away again. No, it's like, yes, get me out of this boat. I'm coming, Jesus. I love this yoke. Look at all we've accomplished, and I didn't even realize all this got done. The Galatians were a people that were lifting from their backs. They had begun in the Spirit. When they first received the gospel from Paul, they were so excited. They got saved, and the Spirit of God began to work in this fellowship. Not only were they transformed from serving idols to serving the living God, but they were obeying from their heart the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were seeing miracles and God working wonders in their midst. But then these men that we'll refer to during this study as Judaizers came and said, no, you Gentiles don't have it right. There's more. There's more. And you have not earned where you are. You have not earned where you are. You need to earn this. You haven't done enough to get to this place. You've got to go back under the law, which means you have to become a Jew. You have to proselyze into Judaism. You have to be baptized into Judaism. You have to have all the men circumcised, and you have to go under the Mosaic law. You have to observe the feasts of the Lord. You have to observe the sacrificial system. You have to do all these things, and then you come by faith. And the Galatians felt so ashamed of themselves, thinking that they could just believe in Jesus Christ and have all this freedom. What were they doing enjoying Jesus like that? They had no right just to enjoy Jesus like that. They had to earn the right to enjoy Jesus. And they went back under the law, and they began to try to work for it. They were putting their backs into it. These men were saying things like they weren't praying long enough. They weren't using the right words. There was a special formula or methodology that they needed to use. They weren't following enough rules, rules for eating, rules for bathing, rules for praying, rules for studying. And soon the Galatians were overly burdened and their backs were wrenched. Their Christian experience had moved from being one of joy to labor. It was all becoming way too hard. And Paul learned about their plight. And so he wrote them a letter. He wrote them an epistle to show them the danger of what they were doing, to expose these Judaizers, these men that were putting them under the law, what their true motivation was and what they were doing. They were the original cult leaders. Paul wrote this letter to show the Galatians the superiority of the covenant of grace to the covenant of works, and to point out the difference between the fruit of the Spirit, what God does in us, and what comes naturally out of the labor of our flesh. I am so thankful for these Galatians. I am so thankful they got it wrong so I could get it right. I am so glad they stumbled. I am so glad that they slipped into this. I am so glad that Paul took the time to correct them in love, to say beloved and little children, and so endearingly as a father to correct them. I am so glad, because it's so easy for me to slip into thinking I need to earn the grace of the Lord, to think that I've got to do something or I've got to work it up or I'm not doing enough for Jesus. You know, anytime anyone does something on prayer, I'm like, I'm not praying enough. I got to pray more. Don't you? I mean, who prays enough, huh? Who knows enough of the Bible? Who's there? No one. And we won't be this side of heaven. But the wonderful thing is, God is ready for us to get it wrong so we can get it right. He doesn't care when we fail. He's like, yes, now are you ready? Yes, I'm ready to learn. I'm receptive now. I'm here and I'm listening. Because we have this epistle, we can learn how to walk in the Spirit. We can learn how to recognize legalism when it's out there, when it's in here, and when it gets in here or in here. We will recognize it so that we will learn to walk in the Spirit. I have to say this again, I am so thankful for these Galatians getting it wrong. You know, as that's part of legalism. You cannot fail. You fail and you're out. No, you fail and you're ready to learn. I make mistakes. Let me just say, I get it wrong. You know, I really am thankful for the grace of my children with me. You know, I thank them all for putting up with me as their mother. I really do. They know that. In fact, I've had to give them lots of money to make up for what I've done. That's why I'm poor now. You know, let me just say that. It's all right to get it wrong. It's all right to give the wrong answer in group, because after that, you'll know the right answer. It's all right to get it wrong. Okay? Are you free yet? It's all right to get it wrong. It's all right when you fail or you don't have enough time or you don't meet your deadlines. Will you be free? Will you just take the chains off right now? Will you be free to walk in the Spirit? And just say, wow, if I didn't get to it, the Lord didn't mean me to get to it. And he's going to cover, and he's going to work. We often find security and identity in keeping rules and regulations and schedules rather than simply enjoying Jesus. I often try to find my identity in my talents or my work, what I do for the Lord, my busy schedule, the rules we keep, the way I dress. I want to find something in myself that commends me to God, like, you chose me because of this, right? And it's like you can almost see heaven shaking. No. I have a grandson, the other one, Hudson, the little brother. And my daughter-in-law reads him this book about Spot. Is Spot under the table? No. You know, is Spot behind the closet door? No. And sometimes when I'm asking the Lord, did you choose me because of this? I can hear it. No. God chose me because he is good. God chose me because he is love. God chose me because he can do good things through me. God chose me because he saw how much I needed him. God knew where I would be without him, and in his grace and his mercy, he chose me and he took me in. And then, I don't know why, but he began to bless me so much. He began to do all these special things. Do you know what I have in my house? I have running water. This morning I turned on the water and I went, running water. I don't know why it never occurred to me that that is a blessing, but it's such a blessing. Not only that, I have hot and cold water in my house. I don't have to go out to a well and bring it back with some huge pot on my head and then have everyone use it up and go, where's the water? And have to go back to the well, because that well is deep and I have nothing to draw with. But God is so good. I have running water in my house. You know what else I have? I have a refrigerator. It keeps the stuff cold and from spoiling, at least most of the stuff, except for the stuff I like to leave in there for like, 6 weeks and only find by the smell. But everything else, it pretty much keeps. It's amazing. And yes, my ice maker, because I laid hands on it and prayed, is working. By a total divine miracle. But you know what? I have ice in my house. It's been such a blessing the last 2 weeks. Ice. God is so good to us. Not because we deserve it. Not because we earned it. You know, there were some great people living in the 1800s, and they did not have hot and cold water in their house. There were some very spiritual, wonderful believers, and they did not have refrigerators in their house. But we do, by the grace of God. We are God's spoiled children. And why? Because we deserve it? No, because he's so good, because he likes to lavish his grace upon us, because he wants to bless and he wants to use us, because he is good. I want you to fill in the blanks. God wants me because I can do blank, or because I am blank. The answer is nothing, nothing. God wants me because I can do nothing, or because I am nothing. That's the only right answer. I'm nothing. He is everything, and everything wants nothing. Everything is looking for something to fill and is looking for empty vessels. You can't fill a full pot, but you can fill an empty pot. He's abundance. He's everything. And he wants to fill us with his goodness, his mercy, his joy. Everything that he is, he wants to put in us. This year, we're going to be studying the epistle to the Galatians. In 2013, we're going to move into Ephesians, which then talks about the blessing of walking in the Spirit. But first, we're going to learn walking in the Spirit. We're going to recognize ourselves like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize when I was putting those burdens on myself, or when others were putting those burdens on me, that that was legalism. We're going to recognize legalism. And because of their temporary folly, we are going to learn the glory and the superiority, the power and joy of walking in the Spirit. And to this end, we have homework. If there's a question or a portion that is confusing, I would recommend the NLT, New Living Translation, or the NIV. You don't have to go out and buy one if you don't want to. These are available through the Blue Letter Bible. Just Google Blue Letter Bible. It'll come up. You can go to these translations. I did not understand the book of Galatians until I was in eighth grade and somebody went through it in the NIV version. I'm saying keep your King James, keep your New King James, but do this to help you. It's all right. Legalism says there's only one. No. The Spirit has set us free. We're allowed to do NIV and NLTs and Amplified. We're allowed. This is freedom. If you don't understand a question, you can call your leader or you can skip it.
Skip a question?
Yes. You know, listen to this. We even want you here if you didn't get a chance to do any of your lesson. We still want you here, okay? We still want you in groups. We still want you here. Even if you can't do any of it, or if you didn't have time, come. Because you know what? We're free. We are the free women, okay? Because you are not under grace. Oops, you are under grace. You're not under the law. And look, if you get to a question, you're having a great day, but suddenly there's one you don't understand, go ahead and write anything. Just write, God is good. That will work for everything. Like, you know, little kids in Sunday school, no matter what you ask them, Jesus. Okay, just put that in. That will work. That's always the right answer, okay? Jesus is always the right answer. So you could just put that in. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What lingers with you? Jesus. What is the theme for each of these portions? Jesus, Jesus. It will work. I promise you. What is your prayer? Jesus. See, it works. At least day one, it totally works. Groups. You may come at 10:30 if you're afraid of a group. Some people are afraid of groups. Some people are afraid of women. I understand that fear. I'm afraid of myself. I look in the mirror and go, "Ooh!" But anyway, it's a woman. If you have that fear, come at 10:30 just for the Bible study and the worship. And then pretty soon, ease yourself into a group if you feel led. It's fine. But I want you to know that in these groups, you're going to find something that you can't find out there in the world, and that's really good friends. Women that are for you. Women that are for your spiritual growth. Women who will not judge you. We're not judging because we're all nothing, and nothing cannot judge nothing. We are here because we need to be for each other and for the work of God in each other. And so there's accountability, visibility, clarity, love, and fellowship. That's what you will find in these groups. And then we're going to have the time of worship, which is praise and proclamation, stirring our souls to be reminded of who God is and what he has done. I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh, will the speaker just stay seated? And could we just have more worship? Even though I am that speaker, that's probably why I want to stay seated. But sometimes, you know, the worship is ministering to my heart everything I need for that day. You ever have that? Where that song is exactly what I came for. I love that. And then we get to be part of a great choir in worship. I always pretend that I'm like in a duet or I'm with the band. I shouldn't be, and I'm not. And that's why I sit on the front row and just sing really loud so they think I am. But, you know, where else do you get to sing with all your heart and not be weird? I mean, I was singing with all my heart in the car the other day, and this girl looks over at me and goes, okay, even if it was my daughter, it was still embarrassing. But you know, we can sing in church with other women with all of our heart to the Lord. We can sing as loud, and you know what? We're not singing about our dog dying. We're not singing about that man that left us. We're singing about the man who will never leave us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we sing, I believe we are joining with the worship in heaven, and I believe that's when Jacob's ladder, heaven opens up and it comes down and the angels begin to minister to us the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that in heaven they're worshiping, and here we are in this joined worship of our great God and King. And then there's the Bible study, a time of exhortation, confirmation, affirmation. I'm not going to tell you anything new this year, but I'm going to remind you of what you know, and I'm going to remind you of what you've learned, and I'm going to confirm what the Holy Spirit is already saying in your heart, and affirmation. There might be revelation by the Spirit of God and inspiration, and I pray that there is clarity and understanding as we study these scriptures together. But most of all, this year, as we study what it is to walk in the Spirit, we are going to experience that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, these things are going to be in our lives, not because we're working at it, not because we've got 10 ways to love our neighbor, not because, you know, I've done these steps to joy or, you know, 15 reasons for peace. No, just because the Spirit of God has come upon us in his love and filling us to overflowing, so there is an abundance of fruit given to us by the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Are you ready to learn to resist legalism? Are you ready to recognize it? Are you ready to be free by the gospel of grace? Are you ready to embrace it and walk in the Spirit? Then let's go on together. Let's do this together as women touched by the Holy Spirit. Will you go ahead and stand up, please? After prayer today, there will be women up front to pray for you. If you need prayer, come on down and receive prayer. All right, let's close our eyes. Lord, I pray for my sisters right now. Lord Jesus, as we go on in this journey, as we walk together, Lord, in the Spirit, may you touch us. May you set each one of us free. May you anoint us and bless us. Will you work in us to give us that understanding as we go through these lessons? Will you excite us about the things that we see in your word? And will you explode and open up your word to us? Will you fill our hearts and minds? And Lord, may we have a more dynamic walk with you than we have ever had before. May we find ourselves doing that which is impossible for us and only possible through your Spirit. Lord, bless these that have gathered, Lord. Touch them. Let them walk in the Spirit and in the gospel of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, right?